Hey everyone, welcome back to the Winner Circle. Thank you for stopping in again. Here, you might already see it, and if you're listening on audio, there's a big surprise. We have Donnie Thompson, the America's favorite from season 16. I cannot believe that you're on here with me. It's been so long since we've talked. I am so happy to have you here. Your smile, your energy, it's like nothing has changed since the last time I've seen you. But before we get into it, everybody, please, if you're liking the content that's going out, Tiffany is covering the live feeds. We have the Winner Circle with Tiffany where she covers the live feeds. If you haven't seen those videos, check those out. Tiffany takes a very deep dive into what's going on and how she feels about it. And guess what? She's not afraid to tell you how she feels about it. And so check those videos out. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the channel and turn on those notifications. All right, Donnie, what is going on, my brother? How you doing, man? What's going on?
It's after 10 o'clock and I wouldn't have stayed up for nobody but you.
I love that, man. Nothing about you has changed. You're still that like absolutely incredibly nice guy. I love it.
I appreciate it.
What's been going on since?
Y'all thought I was a ninja and a special forces, or Caleb did. Was that not crazy?
Well, we had Devin that thought you were military. Caleb thought you were special forces. Everybody had something, which is something that I want to get into because I think you understand something that one of the house guests is going through right now, just being ostracized, but we won't get into that yet. Because I want to see what has been going on in the life of Donnie Thompson you're not super active. I always see you posting on Twitter like during the holidays, but you're not super active. So for anybody that's seen you for the first time in a while, let them know what's been going on in Donnie's world.
Well, let's see here. Yeah. After Big Brother, I was the groundskeeper, the maintenance man at Cabarrus County Schools. They didn't give me my job back. Can you believe that? I got over 5 million votes and they didn't give me my job back. So I got another job at an elementary school with some little kids, and I love that. But now I work at Stanley Community College. I got a shirt on. I'm a maintenance guy, and I mow grass. You probably see my little sunburn and everything. So I like my job. Let's see. I still live in the same little house, the same little town. Everything's the same. I still watch reality shows.
You've been watching everything. We were talking a little bit before we got on here. You're watching The Challenge on CBS. You watch Big Brother,
really,
obviously.
I love The Challenge.
Well, who are you liking so far on The Challenge on CBS?
All right. I like the Big Brothers, of course. I've watched all the shows, so I knew everybody except the Love Island people. I really didn't know them, but I pull for the Big Brothers. I really liked last night's episode because Alyssa got a little bit of revenge, you know, and it worked out. But I thought she was very bold to do that because, you know, David wasn't like known for his competitions, and to throw Xavier in with him was very bold. So
I thought it was bold. It was really good TV. I got to be honest with you. I felt like it was a little bit vengeful and less strategic. And so that's the only thing I'll say. I don't know how it plays out. I don't know if it goes in her favor and Kylan's favor, but it seemed a little more vengeful than it was strategic in the sense that I don't see that X would have ever turned on them in the game. And so I always like think about things in that sense. I'm always like, do you target numbers of yours or do you roll and go at people that are never going to be on your side? And
They never mentioned, you know, they could have threw that, the guy from Amazing Race, and the girl from Survivor, Desi, and the guy that talked about cats, they could have thrown them in there. And then, you know, if David would have beat them, they would have still had all the Big Brothers. So I don't know why they didn't let us hear, why they didn't think about them.
See, that's the aspect of the show that I wish they would do more of, where they just showed Kylan and Alyssa interviewing everybody, but they don't show like what's going on in the house. I want to see the drama. Yeah. I want to see them boozing. I want to see them fighting, hooking up, going out and partying. I want to see the fun stuff, the challenge.
Yeah, because of COVID, and then a lot of them's married. So I guess right now it's experimental stage, and they want to see, you know, test out the dynamics of it.
How do you think you would do that?
Here's what they're going to invite me and you to do it next year, and we're going to be so tight. Dynamic, but I'm going to turn on you because I went out on your HOH, and I'm going to get my revenge.
You can't. I just, I don't know. I would never turn on you, Donnie. So why would you do that to me? I would never, not again. I turned on you once. I wouldn't do it again. I turned on you once. I wouldn't do it again.
Hey, I would align with you all over again. I know we're taking this time, but I remember, I was worried about my vote. I was like, I hadn't talked to my brother and I was close to him. So when I got back home, I said, because everybody's asked me, why didn't you vote for Derek? Why didn't you vote for Derek? Yeah. So I asked Tommy, I said, do you know why I voted for Cody? He said, absolutely. He said, I watched you on live feeds and you told him if you made it the jury, you would vote for him. I remember it was a Sunday. Yep. Me and you was laying on sitting, that little bed outside. Yep.
Sitting outside, right to the left of the door. Right when you walk out the door of that little area.
You was saying, yes, sir. And he was so nice. And I was like, this guy is very sincere. And I said, and plus, you play it in stages. I was wanting to make it to jury. And I was like, hey, if I make it to jury, I'll vote for you. And I really thought about when I was on stage, I had both the keys. And I asked you a question. Why do you think you should win over Derek? And you said, well, I would befriend like you and Hayden and Zach. And then I'd go back to Derek. So I'm like, you're giving more power to Derek. So I put my little key. I was going to vote for Derek then.
Yeah.
And then Julian got to talking a little bit and I got to thinking about that thing. And I'm like, this is just a one night thing, but I got to live with the vote for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I remember I said, I will vote for you. And I did. And I'm glad I did.
You kept your word. You kept your word. And I appreciated that. I wish I was a little bit better on 16. I was way younger, obviously. I was very emotional and I felt triggered. If you remember at the 16 finale, like the first question was like directed at me and was like a hammer. It was like, Cody, you're a puppet. And I was like, hold on. And so it was like fight or flight kicked in and I was ready to fight. And so I was like going at people.
But the majority, you know, of course, you don't know, but in the jury house, we're not supposed to talk about Big Brother. And that's the only thing we got in common. So I knew the majority of the people had already dogged you and they were going to vote for Derek.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of knew how it would play out.
Yeah.
So
I got a pity vote. How you doing? Take me where I can get him.
Mine wasn't a pity vote. Mine wasn't a pity vote. I voted because I told you I would.
That's right. You kept your word. You kept
and
your
I was
word.
Shocked
and I appreciate
that. Jeff Costa voted for you. I really will. You know. But,
yeah. That.
You know,
yeah.
I was glad.
That came out of nowhere. There were a couple that I was like, you know, like when Christine didn't vote for me, I was like, what was that about? When Zach didn't vote for me, I was like, you didn't even play the game with. You barely talked. Like you didn't play the game with Derek. You were playing the game with me. Like I was like, okay. And then Hayden too. I was like, what? I was like, I duped you over, Hayden. I was like, who played you?
I know Hayden and Zach and you played pool the whole time. So I thought we was tight. I even remember one night I got up, used the bathroom. I didn't have my glasses on. And I was like, I was pointing at everybody like, we're together. And then when I got back to bed, I was like, dadgum, I hope nobody was in there. You know, because
I remember that. You came outside and it was Zach, Hayden, and I. And then we had like, it was like the four of us. We were like, yeah, we're going to do something.
I was pointing at each other like, this is it. This is it. But without just talking about game. I was so scared to death to talk about game because, you know, I was the number one target. And then, you know, I was nominated 8 times. And so I was like, I'm afraid to talk real game because they'll run back and tell. You know, I knew what was going on because of Team America. You just didn't know I knew what was going on.
Right.
And so, but my hands was tied. There was nothing I could do about it.
There was nothing you could do. You're making money.
I mean, had to ride. Just
what you just said, I think is we have to dive into it. Now, I don't want to keep pushing it off any longer because I feel like Taylor is in a situation like that right now on this season. Everything she says is used against her. Everything she says gets skewed. Everything she says gets passed along with telephone, and it always comes back to her in a very negative light. And we saw it come to a head. We'll get into what happened last night on Wednesday night's episode.
Yeah.
But you dealt with something similar where it just was like, to me, Taylor seems like a very genuine, very kind, very like soft person. You are very similar. You are very kind. You are very genuine. You are a very soft, gentle person. But it was like, if you said something, it was like, Donnie's trying to manipulate it. Donnie's trying to get people against us. Donnie's trying to do this. And it was never, and I was one where I might've bought into it. I might've been like, you know what, Donnie might be doing that. But I never felt like, and you could correct me if I'm wrong. I never felt like I was like, I'm staying away from Donnie. I always felt like I would always have conversations with you and make you feel like, okay, even if he seems to be public enemy number one, I still don't want him to feel like he's like ostracized and an outcast. And that's what I don't like that I've seen on the Taylor side. Thankfully, she finally got brought in, but maybe you can touch on that because that was literally you. You were, couldn't do anything right. We're on the block, constantly winning vetoes until it was just like, how many times could you win the veto, right? And like, what is that like in the Big Brother house? It may be a little touchy, but.
Everything is hard in a Big Brother house anyway. I imagine if I was in a big alliance with people, I would feel a little bit safer, but being by yourself is a lot worse. But I will say, I am kind of a loner outside of the house. Mm-hmm. I live alone. I've never been married, so I didn't mind being alone. Hey, you can't make a lot of mistakes when you're alone, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I did like being alone, but I would get a little lonely sometimes.
Yeah.
It was hard, and the isolation, and then you got to deal with your brain. And so I know exactly what she's going, but y'all was never like mean. They were never mean to me. You know, no one ever came out there and just yelled at me and stuff.
Yeah.
The way they treated her to her face. And I know people think that's weird. Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about somebody, talk about them behind their back, and hopefully it don't get back to them, but to talk to their face like that, that was horrible. I can't imagine how she feels.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess we could get right into Wednesday's episode because we'll skim through it. There's not much going on from the 2-hour episode, but Turner wins the HOH. In the early stage, he was like, I want to find out who turned the votes on Pooch. And that's who I want to target. But he seemed like he couldn't figure it out. And then he said, you know what? If all else fails, I'm going to go after Taylor. And then the week is going on, and then something clicks with, you know, with Turner, Kyle, Monty, and Joseph. And I honestly, I want to say it was Joseph. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I want to say Joseph was like the first one that was like, I'm getting sick of Taylor being ostracized. I'm going to go talk to her. And Joseph went and talked to her. And I don't know how much you keep up with the feeds, but Joseph went and talked to her. Amira like hammered him. And I want to say that just turned Joseph off. And he was like, why am I getting grilled for talking to this girl? Like, nobody's allowed to talk to her. Is that how this season's going to go? And then I feel like it started to build towards, okay, why are they doing this to Taylor? And can we find a way to include Taylor to benefit our game? Right. Is that, did you see that?
That's the way I feel. I feel that it was Joseph, maybe a little bit of Kyle, feeling a little bit of sorry. And then they started, you know, wondering why we can't. See, the good thing about this, I know people ain't going to think there's a lot of good about this season. Everybody wants gamers. Mm-hmm. You don't want 16 gamers. It would be very boring. Everybody would lay low and not do nothing because they're gaming. You need these recruits. And, you know, I don't know the account, but I would say there's probably 10, 11, 12 recruits that don't know nothing about Big Brother, and that makes it better. But it also makes it worse for the fact that, like when they start isolating someone like that, they spiral, you know. But that's the way it goes.
And it's just the way it goes. What do you think it is about Big Brother? Because I said it earlier, and that was one of the things that I hated, because when we came out and it was like, Donnie literally is a groundsman, Derek was an undercover cop, and everybody was just going after Donnie for no reason. It was like Donnie was a spy, and then they mocked us on the Bold and the Beautiful.
What he was doing,
right. And so it was like, it was so funny, but then it's like you have that instant regret, and you're like, you're sitting there, you're like, I can't believe I would do that to someone that was as nice of a person as you. And I hope that when this cast comes out and watches this back, they genuinely see Taylor for who she is, the same way everybody saw you for who you were. And which is why we caught a lot of grief. Like, I know I was like, you know, I would always be talking to you and everybody would be like, oh, like you were nice to Donnie, but like, you still, like, I would say like, yeah, man, I feel like I can't trust him. But it's like, I had nothing to go based off of other than the house saying stuff.
Yeah.
And why does that happen? Like, why do you think that happens in Big Brother?
It's the way the game is designed. It's kind of like in the animal kingdom, you know, mentality. Like if you see a pack of dogs, they'll go after some a little stray dog. It's just the way it is. And then you get a group of people in a house and they're all in an alliance together and they feel a little, you know, feel a little cockier, I guess. And then they're all like wanting to paint a target because it's a game about, you need a target besides yourself. So everybody paints a target on that one person. And then once they do, I hate this term about the bloods on their hands, but you got to keep that going because they've already been a target. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great point.
Animalistic thing. Mm-hmm. Y'all were not mean and ugly to me. Like a few of them have been very mean and ugly to Taylor. That is horrible. I would have cried. I might have popped somebody, but you know,
yeah,
but, y'all treated me really nice. And you were saying a while ago about you talking to me, that just showed how good of a game you got. You know, you was against me, but yet you talked to me and spent time. Yeah. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. I just feel like this game brings a side out of people that is just, I don't know that anybody is like this in their day to day, but I still think there may be a hair of it in their personality because like I said, you know, I do my best to not do that to somebody, but I couldn't help but in the house, it was like, Donnie could be this, Donnie could be this, Donnie's trying to manipulate, Donnie's trying to get people. And I was like, it doesn't seem that way, but you know what? I'm buying into it. And you know what? Donnie is the problem and we should get Donnie out. And I was like, but there was a point where I remember having to put you on the block. Do you remember this? It was in the fourth week when I won the HOH and I wanted to put Caleb on the block, but then everybody like hammered me and was like, don't put Caleb on the block. He's in our alliance. You have to do it to Donnie. And like, I threw a little temper tantrum upstairs after I did it. And like, I got a little emotional because that was just me being young, because there was a point where I was like, what are we doing here? Like, why is this guy going on the block every week? He's just on the block. He's on the block. We're like beating him down. It's like, okay, how many times could you go on the block and be told to your face, hey, you're good. Don't worry. You're just a pawn.
But what you didn't know, and I didn't really know it 100%, but Derek and Frankie and the whole Team America thing, they were using my likability to send other people home. So when I did sit on the block, I didn't feel 100% safe. I never felt 100% safe. But after a few times people going home, I was like, yeah, they are. Hey, we were getting paid to stay there. So why not? So, you know, my likability was sending other people home. So they wanted you to nominate me to definitely send Brittany home. Possibly. Yeah. I think it was Brittany.
That's exactly
right. And so I went up there. What gave it away was a diary room. Diary room called me on a Monday morning and said, you know, what's up? Are you nervous? You know, here's what they wanted. They wanted me in the diary room saying, I ain't a bit nervous. Cody's my buddy. He would never nominate me. And then they was going to show that when you nominated me. So when they was trying to get that out of me, I was sitting here thinking, uh-oh, something's up. So I went up to your room and you was like, and then that's when I started learning, confirming the bomb squad is because you would say, Donnie, I don't want to do it. They want me to do it. You kept saying they. Well, I picked up your family's picture and I talked you out of it. But then Derek and Frankie.
Yeah. So what happened was Frankie, because I said to Frankie, I was like, done. I'm done. I'm not nominating Donnie. And then Frankie went and grabbed Derek. And then Derek talked to me. And I was like, you know what? No. Fine. I'll do it because I don't want to play emotional. I want to play strategic, which is what you're talking about, because I also was aware of the game, right? So like I had watched Big Brother before and I knew, okay, don't be the person that just causes the chaos because that puts a target on your back. So then when Derek calmed me down, I was like, okay, I don't want to do it. What's happening a lot in these, you know, when this is what I love about it. When you bring in a lot of people that maybe don't have a great understanding, you get for good TV. You may not get for the greatest gameplay.
Devin could possibly be the best player ever. You know, too bad Devin didn't hang around a little bit longer. He was amazing TV. We had some good characters. You know, people talk crap, say it was a steamroll, but we had great characters, great, great characters. And Devin was amazing TV. I just wish he could have lasted a little longer. He told me everything. He woke me up one night and told me everything, but there was nothing I could do with that information. Yeah. I was by myself.
Great, Donnie. Great, Devin. All right, great. I appreciate it. I'm not doing anything with it. All right. Anyway, so we're back to Big Brother 24. The veto is getting played, and now they're waiting to pick players. And Nicole has this plan that she thinks is going to fruition where she's going to get herself nominated on the block, right? We saw something similar to this last week with Pooch, right? And we saw how that ended.
Yeah.
I don't get why this cast is so blinded and so like foaming at the mouth for Taylor that they're just like clouded and missing what's happening right in front of their face.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think Julie Chen did say something about the person that's left in the house would get some sort of an advantage. Don't you remember her saying something like that or insinuating?
She did. Well, so she said that you'll find out about what happens to the remaining bestie.
Yeah.
And what everybody does in the Big Brother house is we speculate, right? That's what we do best. We speculate and we think we know and we have it pinned down and then we find out we're way off. Right. So I think what happened was that she just took that, ran with it. And it wasn't Julie. It was Turner. And I only know this because on the feeds, it said something along the lines of like, Nicole said something in her diary room about Turner mentioning the bestie gets, you'll find something happens to the bestie if their partner goes home.
Okay.
And so it was Turner at the veto meeting. And I guess Nicole took that and ran with it. She was the only one that really took it and ran with it. And she ran with it in the same sense that Pooch did when he wanted himself going on the block. And I was like, so I don't know who you picked early on, but early on I picked Nicole to win. I thought she was my early pick. She was like when the cast came out, episodes were out. Came out. I read the bios. I saw some of their interviews with Us Weekly, and I was like, I like Nicole. I think she's going to be even keel. I think she's going to be cool. She's going to be older, more mature. She's going to understand this game. I think I was completely off.
She has been a little bit like, about Casey. You didn't think she reminds you of Casey, and she was a winner. Just a little bit.
Oh, so it wasn't necessarily that. I like that she said she had like the cop in her background, which made me feel like she was going to like try to like break down what people were saying, almost similar to, I guess, like Derek. But then again, I don't know why, because all the cops after Derek weren't great. Like they would go home very quickly. And I just thought because she was older and because she was more mature, she was going to be like kind of calm. And at first it seemed that way, but now it's starting to seem like Nicole is a loose cannon. And my favorite was she described Taylor as a loose cannon. And then immediately after describing her as a loose cannon, like she blew up the house. And this is what started Daniel to freak out on Taylor. This is when, so it all started where Nicole goes to the diary room, everybody's speculating as to why she's crying, which I think is unfortunate because everybody was speculating and they immediately think it's personal, something back home.
Sure.
That's something with her mom. Poor Taylor catches wind of this and goes into the room to try to like consult, like be there for her.
But asked Monty to pray first.
Asked Monty to pray for Nicole. And Nicole
can't get no better.
Right? Like she's just I don't know what. And so obviously like when you're in the house, the game gets to your head. I don't know what's going on, but everybody's seeing it on the outside. And it's just kind of, I hate it. It's hard to watch. When I watched Daniel go off on Taylor, I was watching with Christy and I was like, I kind of want to turn this off. Like, I'm like, my blood's boiling because just like yelling at her in the sense, it's like, I don't care what she said to Nicole, nothing in the sense of you want to quit, you want to do this. She didn't say anything personal to her to cause a snap like that. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to say what I really felt, but it was just like, where are we going here? What are we doing? Like, what do you think this girl is that like vindictive to be like trying to get Nicole to quit her bestie? Like people are speculating. And what bothered me the most was that everybody that sat there speculated that it was a mother, right? Taylor didn't make this information up. Then Taylor goes into the room with Nicole and Amir is there. Jasmine's there. Nobody decided to say, oh, I was there. I didn't think that she meant it that way. Everybody just allowed Daniel to crush her. Right? What is going on here?
Yeah. Someone should have stood up for it. Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, if you were sitting on that couch, Donnie, I don't have a doubt that you would have stood up and been like, hold on.
Because I was going to be on the block anyway, so I ain't got nothing to lose.
So what do you think that is? Like, why do you think this is happening where like Taylor just can't do anything right? Like she tries to console Nicole. Nicole completely misinterprets it, takes it to Daniel, and then Daniel blows up. Like, why Daniel blowing up on Taylor? Where does that come from?
Yeah, all right. It's like the pack mentality. So earlier on, I think it's a little jealousy. All right, because it even showed it on the TV show when she had her bathing suit on, shooting pool with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that rubbed the girls the wrong way. They were all laying by the the swimming pool, and she was over there. They thought she was flirting. I think that's just who she's comfortable with, guys.
Totally.
So right off the bat. That was a little jealousy. Then when she showed them their clothes, they asked her to model them, and she did. Then they was jealous. So then she became like the first target. Once you get the first target and you think they're going and they don't, it was like she won up you. Well, we got to get her next week. We got to get her. We got to get her. It's like, you know, y'all wanted me, and then the next week y'all wanted me, and then, you know, some of them did. But then it's pack mentality.
Yeah.
It's like they found a common – the hate for her brought them closer. And then when you hear two people talking, it's like, well, I hate them. You don't really hate them. You just hate that they didn't go home.
Mm-hmm.
But then you say you hate them. It's a weird game. The things we saw, the things that we see, the paranoia that goes on in there. There was times I wondered if the things I saw was what I really saw. And you know what? It was really what I saw. people act different. You know what I'm saying? It makes people do things that they wouldn't normally do, because they feel comfortable. They feel like they got somebody on their back to watch them. They can do what they want to because they've got their group, and we've got to get these. I just don't know why they single one person. There's only going to be one winner. Heck, get somebody else out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what the one thing that Daniel said that was so interesting to me, he goes, you think America's not watching? And I wanted to be like, buddy, this is going to be the epitome of, I can't wait to see it. And we've seen this on past seasons before, where if Taylor doesn't win, Taylor's winning America's Favorite. Like I'd put my Big Brother winnings on a bet that Taylor wins America's Favorite if she doesn't win the game. And I can't wait to see the look on some of their faces when they realize it's like, she was not what you were putting on her. And America was seeing the complete opposite. Like a lot of people were seeing the opposite of what you're saying. And I can't wait to see that look of like, uh-oh, like, in lack of a better word, we messed up.
Yeah.
You were.
They'll spin it though. They'll have their versions. They'll say you didn't see it all on live feeds. You don't know what she done to us. It was a misunderstanding. I didn't really say it like that. There'll be some excuses.
Yeah.
It'll be some excuses.
I think that a lot. It's hard for people to like understand their to really fully self-reflect. Like I know when I came off, there were two people that I really like self-reflected about, and it was you and it was Zach. And I was like, Donnie, I'm so sorry how that whole thing went that we were targeting you. You're obviously who you say you were. Like, I can't believe that was going on. I went up to Zach and I was like, bro, I'm sorry that I started getting really aggravated. And I started saying some nasty things about you. And I apologized to his mom as well. I was like, I'm sorry what I said about your son. Like, I love him to death. And you almost get like irritated with each other after a while, where it's like, this weird side of you comes out like a lot of people did on our season. Like Frankie started getting on my nerves. Zach started getting on my nerves. Like I was like, what is going on here? Why all of a sudden? It's because you can't help but get away from each other. You can't get away from each other. So like every little nuance started bothering people. Like Derek and I always talk about the one time Caleb out of nowhere was like, just went to Derek, man, you smack your lips when you chew. And Derek went back at him. And it was like, we just get on each other's nerves. But what I will say is you spend too much time together. But what I don't think is that's what's happening to Taylor. Cause it's super early. There was something about Taylor that I think Paloma started it. And I think Paloma started from Taylor was a threat to Paloma because Taylor was in with the guys. Taylor wasn't running back to the girls. And so Paloma made it a threat. And then when she vocalized that to Alyssa and to Amira and to Jasmine, they all jumped on that bandwagon. And then once you have that and then you feel something and then another person says it, it's that almost like that confirmation bias where it's like, well, if I think it and Donnie also thinks it, then like it's true. And somebody needs to come in there and like bop you up on the head and be like, it's not, you need to take a step back and like exhale and just like start fresh, because that's what I feel like a lot of people were just, it was snowballing with Taylor. It became like a snowball effect.
But like with Paloma, I believe she told Taylor about wanting to get the girls' lines about some of the powerful guys. Taylor shared that to Monty, and then Monty went back to Paloma, and then he believed Paloma.
Yes.
It's always somebody, Taylor didn't do anything wrong.
No.
You know, Paloma just blamed it on her that it was a lie just to clean her hand. And it was the truth.
Yeah.
And well, I think Monty sees it now. I think he says, you know, Paloma lied to me.
So Taylor didn't. And that's what I when I had my catch up, because I was in Italy, that was like the first thing I noticed was, okay, Paloma did say this to Taylor. Taylor then took it to Monty, and then Monty didn't believe Taylor. Well, Taylor didn't take it to Monty, but I use that term in the sense of like Taylor and Monty were talking and she brought Monty into that information, because if it wasn't for Taylor, Monty would have never known this. And so Taylor brought that information to Monty, not like she ran to him to tell him, but they were just having a conversation and she was kind of trying to keep him in the loop of like, hey, just watch out, watch your back. Go talk to her, make sure. She was doing it in the sense of just watch yourself, because I don't want you, because I like you and I don't want something bad to happen to you in this game. And that's how it seemed like Taylor was trying to confide in Monty.
It was just a slip, like Alyssa did to Kyle in the shower. You know, the girls want the guys out. It was just a slip up. And then he was like,
And he ran to Paloma. And then obviously Paloma does what she does. And then it causes this snowball effect. And then it's Taylor's public enemy number one. And what I love about it was, you know, it happened. So they did it to Pooch last week. And then nobody was ready to see it happen again. If they just want to be focused on Taylor. It was so funny. So the fallout after the veto, like that would have been a veto that I feel like you would have been sitting there. Like, remember you described that? You have the fallout from the veto meeting when Turner nominates Amira and Terrence, right? And so now the house goes crazy. And the house goes crazy.
Was there more to it than what they showed on TV tonight? Because, see, I don't watch the live feeds. I was expecting something to be blowed up and nothing.
Donnie, I couldn't agree with you more, and I would love to know, because from the feeds and what I was reading up on and some of the
– so I went eating popcorn. It was going to go down tonight. It was going to be a blindside
butter beans.
Yeah, butter beans.
Blindside butter beans. And I was watching that, and I was like, Turner and everybody else that spoke about on the feeds made it seem like this speech was going to be crazy. And it was like, I don't know, not. And the emotion that came from Taylor, I feel like wouldn't have come just from what they showed. It probably came from more. And I could be wrong, but it was like, she was very emotional that Turner was standing up in the way that he was. And I feel like they cut it short.
Yeah, it's like, how did Nicole and Jasmine hold their tongue? You know what I'm saying? Because they're very emotional people.
Yeah.
So when that went down, I'm like, why? I don't see how no one said nothing. So I think a lot was cut out. I'd like to know. But see, no one will ever know unless they talk about it later.
Yeah. I thought Turner said more. I thought there might have been. I just thought there was going to be more to it. I thought there was going to be more to it, but now we have Amira and Terrence on the block, and I can't help but watch. And obviously it's, you know, an outside perspective, but Amira, I just pegged her as such an intelligent person.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And such an intelligent game player. And I don't know if her confidence got to her because of what Julie said to her when she was evicted. But I was like, I just feel like she was like asking people, and obviously everybody looked surprised, right? Everybody was surprised. But I thought she would have a better gauge of, okay, people are lying to me. I can't just go along with this, because what everybody knows, right? When a back door gets put on the block, Donnie, what do we know? When an HOH puts somebody up as a blindside that everybody is surprised by, what do we actually know if we are aware of Big Brother?
Oh, absolutely. And they should know that old man's going to make Final Four easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like Kevin, just like Cliff Hogg.
You know,
if the older person survives the first couple weeks, who's going to waste a head of household? They're going to drag it. Drag. He's nice, and I like Terrence, but he's not going nowhere for a long time.
He's not a threat.
But I think she knew a little bit. Didn't you see how she was flopping her legs? She looked very nervous. Most people had their athletic wear on. She didn't. Almost like she knew she might be going.
So I took note of that as well. But I remember when I was back on All Stars, we didn't really tell people. And I also was always like, I was always telling people, dress up to be on the block. Because if you go and you're in your athletic gear, you're going to look stupid. And if you stay, you think they're going to start the competition and not allow you to change? It's going to take you a second to change. So I would say, get dressed up and sit on the block. But I just couldn't believe that Amira, when everybody acted surprise, 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 I thought she would have had a better game sense to realize, like, okay, everybody's surprised by this. Turn it and just nominate the two of us, targeting Terrence on a whim.
Nobody knew about it. Yeah.
People knew about it. And not only did people know about it, like, I feel like people need to understand this. If you go up, you're almost like your fate is sealed. Like the house, there's numbers. There's numbers there, and there's a reason why you're on the block. And I just feel like she kind of blindly was into her alliance, which I was like, you know, I don't know how tight that alliance was looking, because then again, Michael's all over the place. He's in every alliance. And so
he's sitting real pretty right now.
He's in the best position, and I genuinely feel Michael is just leagues above everybody else. Yeah. And I don't
those
mean all
three
over the
vetoes
place.
That early might hurt him.
So
they're going to start calling him Veto King and all that.
So that's one of the things I was hearing, right? Was that they're talking about Daniel as this big, you know, competition threat. And I was like, Daniel's won an HOH. And now I haven't really seen him compete much else, but has nobody pegged Michael as this, like, we knew. The problem with you was if Donnie plays in the veto, there's a really good chance Donnie's going to win, because you were playing in veto. How many vetoes did you win?
I won three. But I will tell you, I was very comfortable the week I went home because Nicole had come back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Frankie was terrified. Nicole had won three head of households. She targeted Frankie. She wanted Frankie out.
Yeah.
I knew that he was terrified because of Team America. I was like, there's no way they're going to keep Nicole over Team America. So I'm not saying I could competed. Yeah, I am saying I could have competed a little harder. I was comfortable. In the boxing thing, head of household, it was down to me and you.
Me and you.
The answer was 29. I started at 27. I went to 28. I skipped to 30. So you beat me on that one. The whole stay and fold thing, I didn't know what was going on. Heck, I'm not that big of a super fan. Mm-hmm. But with Christine and Derek's knowledge, I knew they was going to flush me and Nicole out. When she went out, I was like, I was playing every time, and then I panicked. I was like, wow, they're going to let one person play against me like Frankie, and he went out. Then that's going to let the next person. Y'all was all going to fold and let one person play heads up. So I got to thinking, oh, my God, if I fold, at least I live to play another time.
Yeah.
And y'all flushed me out. It was y'all's collective thing that flushed me out. I knew about it right there in the split second. I was like, what do I do? I was like, well, I've got to fold or I'll go out, and y'all just – flush me out. So I'm saying if I thought I was going home, I may have played a little bit harder.
You may have played that. You wouldn't have
overthought
it. I
wouldn't have thought I was going home because Nicole was that much powerful. She had already left. I thought she was going right back. Operation Revolving Door.
Yeah.
And then the whole Team America thing, I was like, we're getting paid $5,000 to goon y'all, and they're going to send me out the door, because I knew Derek and Frankie had a lot of pull.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change a thing. Not one thing.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy to like talk about those things now. Like, I haven't really talked about that in a while, because also I would have the conversations about the All-Star season. So 16 isn't one of the ones that I talk about a lot, but it is, it's pretty crazy how.
Do you ever get mixed up in your head when you think about stuff like thinking about what the inside of the house looks like? Do you have to think, was that 16 or 22? Or you got them pretty much split?
I remember the All-Star one was easy because the theme of it was all like paintings in the house of like different greats. There was like Rachel in there, Casey was in there, Daniel Reyes, Derek, Dan, or Dr. Will, Dan. It was like a lot of paintings.
That's right, yeah.
And so that was in there. The only one thing that I remember about 16 was the horrible island table that we had that was made of a bunch of like trees.
Moss in it.
And the food would fall into the crevices, and we like couldn't clean it because if we like used a vacuum, it would like suck out all that what is that, moss?
It's some type of like sphagnum moss that was tucked in between like the cut trees, and it was rough. It wasn't sanitary. Yeah, that's for sure.
You
remember the showers, how slimy the showers would be. Oh, why did we vote Amber out? Because she would clean the showers.
Yeah, Amber did. I got to tell you, it gets no better. The second go around when I was in there, it was just as dirty. And I was like, ugh. I was like, this is gross. And no one cleaned. Because now you're in like, it was like an older cast where it was like, everybody was like, I'm not cleaning up after these adults. I'm an adult. Like, we were young. So we'd be like, oh, let's clean. This is fun. Like, I was on All-Stars. I did not clean the dishes. I was like, absolutely not. We're a bunch of adults in here. Clean up your own shit. I'm not cleaning up after anybody.
You think if I was on All-Stars, I could have got Enzo's spot with you?
I think there would have been a good chance. But I think the issue would have been if you were on All-Stars, then I think you and Nicole would have been super tight. And then I would have been like, that might be a problem. They're going to come for me.
We'd have had to stay 16 strong, you know, for a while.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. We would have done well no matter what. But the All-Star season was an interesting one. That was an issue. I remember when I got the call, I was just like staying super quiet. And like, I saw calls going like all over the place because calls were coming to my brother. Different calls were happening constantly. And a lot of people were very loose lipped. And then I remember seeing you tweet, you were like, I didn't get, you know, I'm not going on All-Stars. And I was like, dang, Donnie's not going.
Well, you know how the rumor mill goes, you know, like after 16, like for the next 4 years, people would hit you up just to see if you were sequestered. You know, about 2 days before, it's like, hey, Donnie, what's going on? I'm like, you're just checking to see if I'm still here. But 2020 wasn't a good year. You know, we were in a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah.
My dad was sick, so I couldn't have done it.
Oh, you could not have done it that year.
I couldn't have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a while. I couldn't believe that they actually were able to get it done. And I didn't think they were going to get it done. Because it was like a call, then it was like, we still have to figure it out. We don't know 100% if it's going to happen. And it just was.
Well, you understand. I mean, you understand that people always say there would never be another All-Stars. I even thought there'll never be another All-Stars. They'll bring some returning players back like they did 18, but there'll never be another All-Stars. But with COVID, they couldn't do that. They couldn't go out and recruit. They couldn't go to these bars and all these places. Yeah. They couldn't
do anything.
Find these people. So they had to get people they already knew. They already, you know, they'd already been vested. They knew everything about them, all those tests and everything. So it was, it made sense.
Yeah, it definitely made sense. And I'm happy.
Yeah. And then last year, you know, everybody said, well, this is not Robin Cass. This is not Robin Cass people. This is much better. But you know what? It was Robin's people. It was 22. It's just because of COVID, they put them off to 23. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fritchie was going to be on 22. It's just that they done All-Stars and pushed it to 23.
Yeah.
And then that's funny. Oh, it's not.
Because they brought in a new casting director.
I bet you a nickel it was Robin's people. It was just they had already done all the work from the previous year.
Yeah.
I don't know this is a fact. It's just my
speculation.
Makes sense, right?
It makes sense. It could. I believe it. But I do know that they brought in the new casting director, which, I mean, right now there's a lot of heat on this cast, which you know, early on it was tough because everybody was seeing what was happening to Taylor and was like, it just ruined the taste of the season in a lot of people's mouths. And what I was trying to say early on was like, let's give this cast a chance to one, make like just change, which now we're seeing it's happen. Right. And so this is what I like seeing. Like, I love this Leftovers Alliance that's made up of Brittany, Michael, Monty, Joseph, Turner, Kyle, and Taylor is going to be the alliance that does really well this season.
You think it'll stick, like the cookout? So, I don't think it'll stick.
So the reason why I don't, right, is because how many flip-floppers are in this alliance?
Yeah.
Kyle's a flip-flopper. Kyle's been flip-flopping when teams are in it. And they say it right now, but Kyle said post-pack. I'm loyal to post-pack, and so that's why I'm sending home Pooch. Monty said, I'm loyal to post-pack. That's why we're sending home Pooch. Now they're loyal. I think I said Lyle. I don't know what that was about. Loyal to the Leftovers. Kyle. Yeah, Kyle, Lyle. Now they're loyal to the Leftovers because Turner was in power. I'm eager to see.
Turner is in the alliance. It's because it was his head of household. Don't you agree? I don't think they would have pulled him in any other way.
I don't think so because remember the pound? Turner, Pooch, Kyle, they were all getting like pretty close. And so Joseph, we have the sub-alliance of the Leftovers of Turner, Monty, Joseph, and Kyle. And then the Leftovers is what is the group that's kind of protecting them. So I think Turner kind of had this coming his way, but I think the larger scale happened because of Kyle. Because the pound needed to get bigger and Kyle's the one that stemmed it out. So I do feel like Turner would have been involved, but I think you might be right. Cause I think Kyle, Monty, Joseph, those three are really, really tight, right?
Really, really tight.
And absolutely. So I think they brought in Turner because of the HOH. So I think you might be right, Donnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you might be right.
And Michael and Brittany, I think because he won vetoes, it was a good week to use him to backdoor someone
and to bring them into the alliance. And the problem is a lot of times people make this mistake when forming an alliance. They form it for the numbers but not for the relationships. And I saw this on our season 16. Bomb Squad was just formed for the numbers and it blew up in a week. This alliance is formed for the numbers because they were like, we don't want to go after Taylor. We need the numbers. We're going to go after Amira and then we make up majority of the house. You only make up majority of the house if you remain in power. And that's why I think a lot of people make that mistake. They win HOH 1 week, the alliance is formed, and they think, oh, we're just going to steamroll the rest of the season. We're going to win every single HOH. And how often does that happen?
Yeah. And then they throw this bestie thing in there. And then if you got someone in alliance and someone not in alliance, they're always going to vote the person out of the alliance. So it helps large alliances.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, everybody don't like large alliances, but they seem to like this large alliance.
Yeah. Well, I know that's why. Well, because you know why they like this large alliance? Because Taylor was finally included. And it's like, that's what I honestly was watching. And I that would have been the first thing I thought, honestly, Donnie, if it wasn't for Taylor getting included, where I was just like, finally, this girl is not going to just continue to get like beat down. Like, that's what it felt like was happening to her. Like, and when she broke down after this episode, after the Wednesday episode where she was like, I was just trying, like every time I try to say something, I hurt somebody. And it's like, I'm like, is she gonna break? Like, it just was making the season. It was giving me like a bitter taste for this season. I was like, can we just like get over this already? And so I was happy that she got brought into it.
Oh, I was very happy.
But I don't think it's going to do well.
She's in my top. Yeah. Like right now, I would say Taylor, Monty, Kyle. They're my top three right now. It could change.
But, so favorites. Know, so you're talking about favorites or like top three to win the game?
Oh no, I don't talk about eighth place. Don't talk about winning the game. I talk about favorites. Donnie,
you've played the game. You played the game really well, and you watch constantly, so you get a good understanding as to who could possibly be doing well, who's in a good position, because you understand. From somebody that played the game that was never in that, like, oh, I'm in a great position in the house. Like, you were always fighting for your life. So you also can see
what. All right, as far as winning the game, You know, Michael, everybody would say maybe, but I think those wins is going to get him. I think they'll get him. Kyle, with his goofy antics, can go really far. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying he could float by off that smile and then start Mike Hollowaying it and start winning out at the end and win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's very likable.
Yeah. I agree with you 100% about Michael. I think one, he's just ahead of everybody in his game sense. There's another one that I really love, but I think he talks a little bit too much. I'm always seeing him talking on the feeds, and it's Joseph. Joseph is great.
I like him. He's great. I think he's a lot smarter than him, by a lot.
And they're not really showing it. They're not showing a lot of it. They're kind of, right? They're touching on it. But Joseph is extremely intelligent, and it has a very good game awareness.
Yeah.
But he talks a lot, and I don't want him to get himself in trouble because I really like him because he's another one I think is a kind person.
Yeah.
I think if Michael doesn't get brought down, but Michael is aware, and what I could see Michael doing now is like, I'm in this alliance. I'm over here. I'm in these. I think where Michael is going to be in trouble is I think when they start talking about the votes this week, right? Daniel, I think, is going to say, hey, listen, I threw a vote the other way. Sure. So like I would have voted. I just didn't know, but it wouldn't have mattered, right? It would have made it 6-5. Yeah. So Daniel's going to say, I threw the vote because I wanted to try to throw a vote because I thought Terrence was going home. He's going to back out. Then it's going to be Nicole, Indy, Jasmine, and Alyssa. And so Michael, I think, is going to get exposed. They don't trust Brittany already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They don't trust Brittany.
This ain't going to be the one they're going to sit around. Well, let's see who they know. They're going to figure it out. Like you say, before they go to sleep tonight, they'll pretty much know.
And that's why I can't wait to see who wins the HOH, because they're going to figure out the votes. And then I can't wait to see. It's just because that's this side of me, because right now, the reason why I want at this point, like a Nicole and or a Jasmine or Alyssa or an Indy to win it or a Daniel to win HOH, even though like I want Daniel out of the house right now because of what he did to Taylor. And it's not, you know, I don't like to judge people in the house because of the game. We've played this game, and I try to give people the benefit of the doubt because the game does a lot to your mind. I just didn't love what he did to Taylor, and so now it's almost like I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing Daniel go home.
Yeah.
But I almost want to see what would happen to the Leftovers Alliance if one of those five win the HOH. Would the Alliance, like, crumble?
Yeah, because here's the way it'll go. They're going to figure out who done the votes. Mm-hmm. So if someone in non-leftovers becomes head of household, they'll know where the votes was. But the people they didn't trust anyway, it won't. It'll hurt them to know the people that they thought they could trust, people like Michael. But then they'll still have to bring them back in for numbers. You see what I'm saying? They'll have to bring them back in. Yeah. They can't turn on them because they'll go and say, oh, I'm sorry. And in Big Brother, you have to bring people. You have to keep the numbers.
Yeah, and the problem is that once you win HOH, so now if one of those five people win HOH, they now only have four of them voting. So you have to be strategic with the nominations so that you can control the vote with four, with the vote with four, because now a split would be five votes, and they don't even have that if one of their numbers win the HOH. So it's
Did you see Monty's face, him and Joseph, when Terrence chose them? They looked a little sad about it. They should have been happy.
Wait, so
if the three of them's nominated, they have the votes to send him out.
To send Terrence out. So if the three of them are nominated, they have the five, but who would nominate? Okay, so then maybe, because they would have the numbers. That actually,
because the head of household couldn't vote.
Because I saw that when Terrence picked them, Joseph looked like, oh, why did you pick us? Right?
But they should
Joseph had that written all over his face.
Yeah. I told my brother, I said, they should be happy because he could be the fall guy. You know, they're big, strong men. They might get nominated, but then Terrence will take the fall for them. That could be the only way he goes home.
Yeah, that's a great point. If they stay on the
block, they'll think about this. Like, oh, we're glad he chose us because if we're targeted, he'll be the one to go.
Yeah, I think they'll come to realize if that does come to fruition, we have the numbers. Wow, that worked out even better. Thank you, Terrence, for joining up with us.
But
that's a good Donnie. See, that's like why you Michael, can. Though. You picked that up in a second, Donnie.
Yeah, but think about this. Someone like a Michael, who is really smart about Big Brother, it's like if we've got Monty and Joseph on the block, are we going to vote Terrence out? I don't think so. You know what I'm saying?
So the reason why I don't think Michael would do that is because I feel like Michael is going to be slightly exposed with this vote. And I think Michael has a good enough awareness in the game to know I just drew a line in the sand. I should not be taking out more of my numbers. Like he continuously, well, not continuously, because Pooch wasn't a number of Michael's.
Yeah.
But Pooch, so that's fine. But Amiro was a number of Michael's. And so he took out one of his numbers, which at the end of the day, how I always was thinking about it when I played the second time, I was like, I got to be prepared to go on the block. I need to understand that I'm going to be nominated. And all I need to do is make sure that if I'm on the block, whoever I'm on the block against, I have enough votes over that person. And that's how I was going based off of him. When I was on All-Stars, based off of the relationships and what people were saying to me about other people, I would always then gravitate towards those people to be like, if I get nominated and they think I'm close to them, I'll probably beat them with a vote because I know that X, Y, and Z really want this person out. So they'll probably look over me and send them home. And that's why I was always like, okay, to be close with Nicole, because I knew that there were a lot of people in the house that would have targeted Nicole, Enzo, Tyler, and then a bunch of people would have voted Nicole out over me. And then there was one person I was like, I could be close with Memphis. I was like, I could be close with Danny, because the same thing, Tyler, Nicole would vote for me to stay. Tyler would vote for me to stay, Enzo, Memphis. But there was one person on the season that I was like, I think if I sit next to them, I'm going home. And it was Enzo.
Oh yeah,
I think Enzo would have never gone home over me, and so that was the one person. But I don't think that they're thinking in that sense of like, how can I stay? Where are my numbers at? And if Michael decides to send home another one of his numbers, it'll make me think like, maybe he's not as far ahead as I think he is.
You're right. He might be thinking about those numbers, but other people that's in that alliance may not. You know, if you have someone like a Joseph up there, how could you vote for Terrence? But I guess you got to think
about
what has
Joseph proven though. This is my big point and a misconception that I think that happens on Big Brother, right? Joseph, he's jacked, right?
Yeah.
Chiseled from the gods. This guy's body is incredible. Yeah. What has he proven in any competitions?
Well, nothing in any competitions, but you know how it is in there.
Everybody calls him a physical threat.
Might throw competitions in the beginning.
Yeah. Who wants to win the first? Yeah, maybe.
Some of these comps you can't throw. You know, they're not made to throw, but some of these comps are made to throw.
Yeah, like you know, the last HOH. Like the last HOH, you could, that was an easy one to throw. Yeah. This HOH, you could probably throw. I don't know what the second half of it's going to be, but I don't know. I just feel like Joseph gets this, like, you know, he's a physical threat. And it's like, how many competitions are like marathons? Like, you would have probably viewed me as more of a physical threat than you by looking at our figures, but you won a ton of competitions. So it's like, well, who's a physical threat? Me or Donnie? We're both equal.
We're like Beast Mode Cowboy. You know, we always didn't compete against each other because vetoes only had a certain amount of people. But if you go and look in competitions that me and Caleb was in, I beat him more than he beat me.
Right.
And you would have thought that.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's a big miss. You just helped me with my point there, D. Yeah. It's a big misconception about everybody views like the physical threat would be someone like Caleb. But it's like, I look at someone like Dirty D, the beard, and I'm like, that's a threat. That guy's winning competitions.
Wait, did you see the first person that got the red ticket tonight?
Jasmine. she hopped up and then had to sit down. I'm like, and that's why I like this one, because I was like, ooh, anybody could win. And I don't feel like the next competition is going to be something where she has to bow out because of her ankle. So I'm excited. I'm like, I can't wait. I'm dying to know what's going on. Actually, we could probably look up to see if anything has happened on the feeds, because I would love to know if anything has happened with the next HOH, or if anybody has come in. Yeah, no, the feeds aren't on. So that's unfortunate. Yeah. I hate when they do this, man. I'm dying for it.
Well, they're planning on making a big Sunday. You know, every year they have something crazy going on a Sunday night. they ain't got nothing crazy. So Sunday night's got to be head of household and nomination. So they got to stretch that out for a whole hour because they ain't got some funny twist in there.
Yeah, which I think is good because I think they need to bring the ratings because usually Thursday usually is their highest rated, highest viewership show. And then Sunday, there's usually a dip. And so I think they're trying to like balance it out. These producers, these people, they know what they're doing. They know what to do over there.
Yeah.
All right.
Like that 2 hour episode, that was hard to handle, that 2 hours.
Donnie, that's why I breezed through that. And it was like, what are we going to do? Cover what happened in the 2 hour episode? There was just like, but we got to the meat and potatoes. We got to what was really happening this season. So now to close it all out, to round it all up, who do you feel right now? It's so early to say it, but we got to go with it. Is in the best position to win? And then who is your ultimate favorite? Just like you love watching this person and you want them to do well, even if they don't win.
All right. I'm going to do a male and a female.
I like that.
On my likability because I like Taylor.
Yep.
And I like it's almost a tie between Monty and Joseph. But I'm going to go Monty.
Yeah. So
this is my favorite, Monty and Taylor. The ones I think could win. I'm still going to say Kyle. I mean, they don't take it seriously. He laughs. He cuts up all the time. I think he's going to win a lot of competitions down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, of course, Michael could, you know.
Yeah.
He's very smart, especially about Big Brother. You know, he's so smart about it. He knows that we hate shout outs. We hate that crap.
Donnie, when he kissed his ring, I was like, I turned to Christy and I go, this guy gets it. And I thought it was adorable. I was like, I love that he kissed his ring.
Did I tug my beard.
I was like,
when I cast a vote, I would tug my beard and I wouldn't say, you know, you don't shout out.
See, I love that. I love that you pick up on that and mention that because I felt the same way. I was like, wow, that was awesome. He kissed his ring to get the message to his husband, and then he walked out of the room. And I was like, it touched my heart, and then it made me appreciate him. Because I was
they need to cut that crap out. They need to go straight to the living room and just show him sitting around in there and cut all that mess out.
I got to be honest with you. I was a culprit of that, D. I was a culprit of that. So, it is what it is, right? You get your shout-outs, right? But I would I think I would always like – I would only shout out like Christy. Because this was the second go around for me was different. Because when I was on the first time, I was single. The second time, I was with Christy for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so I had a girlfriend. It was a lot different for me the second go around. I was a different person in that house the second time. I was a little more cutthroat, Donnie.
You was business, down to business. And congratulations, by the way. Yeah. You done a great job.
Yeah, it was business. The first couple of weeks, you would have seen a lot of tears from me. I was a big crybaby.
Oh, really?
I was like, I couldn't deal with not being around Christy. It was like the weirdest thing. Yeah. And I told her going in, I was like, you're going to struggle. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be in the game. I'm going to be locked in. You're going to be having a rough go. And she was fine. She was good. She was watching the feed. She was into it. And I was crying like a baby in the HOH room.
How about Derek, you, Nicole, all winning Big Brother and Amber winning the challenge?
Our season of Big Brother, everybody could say whatever they want. Our season of Big Brother produced the best players for reality TV, period. There's really not an argument in my opinion.
Very good characters. I would say good characters.
We were the highest rated season of Big Brother ever. We had the most views.
First high definition. Everybody got all excited.
It was a combination of a lot of things. Yeah. I think season 16.
I watch a lot of Big Brother. But see, I don't watch like most people. Most people say, I watch for game and I watch for entertainment. So I think we entertain. Even Joey, you remember she turned into the little boy?
She acted like Devin. She dressed up as Devin and started and then gave herself
a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, she drew it on her face. She like sagged her face. She was wearing like a giddy tee. It was like she had like a hat on. We had a lot of good characters. That season was the most fun. I'm so grateful for that season of Big Brother. It was such a different season from the All-Star season. And I love that I won. Obviously, I would take All Stars because I won, but sure. Man, 16 was just, it was a different type of show. It was,
everything was new. And I mean, from people just don't understand, when we get sent out there, all right, me and you's never get to talk about this, but listen to this. All right. You know how me and you was in the first casting process?
Yes.
We can talk about this now because it was just,
yeah, casting. We can talk about it. Yeah.
So here's the way I see it. It's almost like, well, we won't say that. We'll just speak the facts. There was five of us.
Yeah.
There was five of us. America's Favorite House Guest, Ariana Grande's brother, third place Victoria, second place Cody, and first place Derek.
Was in our warehouse that they kept us in?
Yes.
And then we would leave like one by one to go and talk to the producers.
And Austin was in there. You remember seeing Austin?
Yes. And then he was on the next. Did anybody ever tell you that story? I talked to him the next year. He was supposed to be on our season. Do you know who ended up on our season because he left?
Hayden.
Yes. That's right. Because Hayden said that he was but Austin was going to get taken. And I don't want to tell his story, but something happened.
The
camera crew came to his house and he was coming for the show and something happened. Somebody freaked out. And next thing you know, he's like, I can't, I'm not coming with you guys. I'm staying here. And then
he was such a good boyfriend, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And so then the next season, I guess when things, took a deep dive, he ended up back on the show.
Oh, man.
Donnie, I appreciate you coming on here so much, man. This was so much fun to reminisce with you. I feel like we could do this. I could have kept this going for about 2 hours. But I know it's late. But Donnie, is there any way for anybody that watches this that's like, man, I haven't seen Donnie in forever? How do they keep up with you? Where can they find you? And what's the best way to stay in touch?
I don't have any other social medias. There is a fake Instagram that's got like 30,000 followers. It's not me, but they don't do nothing wrong, so I don't care. I just have that Twitter. It's not verified. It's just a Twitter, and I don't tweet. I might, let's see, it's July. I'll probably say Happy Labor Day or
that's
something.
That's what
like
I was just going to say. I was like, the next tweet that Donnie's going to put out is on Labor Day. But everybody needs to know that you're still watching and you're still keeping up with everything.
I don't watch live feeds. I have a job. I don't know if I could. Live feeds is so boring. My brother captured a lot of our live feeds, mm-hmm. and I couldn't watch it. It wasn't bad. It was just boring.
Yeah,
the show was amazing the way they edited it. I was so slow, and I knew they'd put that music in there like, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo.
And do you hear what they do to Jasmine? It's so messed up. Every time she's on that squeaking thing, they do the squeaky wheel. I'm like, oh, stop doing that to her.
Christmas.
Yeah, they did it to Christmas too. I'm like, why are they doing this to her? But it's so funny. Yeah, I the feeds are tough. I read constantly. And if there's something that I want to see, I go. Because you can rewind the feeds. You can go and check them out. There's sometimes that I have them up, but I'll watch them for like 10 minutes and be like, I'm done.
Yeah, well, you
I read up on it.
So
I read up on it. The one that I read up on a lot is Big Brother Daily at BB Updates, at BB underscore updates. They are absolutely incredible. So I love shouting them out. They're amazing. And they help me stay up to date on what conversations are going on. Because what I'm realizing, the more that I've been watching the feeds ever since we've had this podcast, is they don't show a lot. And they don't show like almost a full story. They show a watered down version of it. And so if you want to get the big picture, you watch the feeds, but they still show all you need to see on the live show. And what I'm seeing, the more I watch the feeds and the more I'm reading up on them, I'm like, they may not show everything, but they still show what's actually going on.
Yeah. It seems like this year they're doing a little bit even better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like maybe they would like to sweep some things under the rug, but because of what's going to take place, they have to like let it all hang out. So they've done a good job. And I think this could be a very good season. Who's your pick? I told you my pick. Who's your pick as a favorite and as a winner?
So my favorites are Taylor and Joseph, just I mean, it's impossible not to. I just love Taylor because I think, I think she got a bad rap from the girls when she first came into the house, and I'm happy that it's going her way now. But I do think there's not a malicious bone in her body. I just don't see that, and I hated hearing it. And so when you see it, and you see the show, and you see it all happening, I love Taylor. I love Joseph because he just seems like a genuine guy. He seems like a genuine guy that I actually like in the game too. I like his game sense, but I like him as a person. And then the person I think could win, honestly, I was saying Michael. I think Michael is ahead of everybody, but if Michael doesn't dial down drastically those wins, people are going to target him. And he'll be somebody that they don't want to target for any other reason but not wanting to sit next to him in the finals. That's what'll be his downfall. I think Kyle, I don't know that people want to sit next to him because I think people will view Kyle as the game goes on as someone that is extremely likable, very liked. And if you're sitting next to him, he's getting the votes. So I think that'll be his downfall. And so
But it might not that he might get to laugh it off as just being haha likable and not gaming. You see what I'm saying?
Maybe. I agree with you. It could go either way. I agree with you. So I could see Kyle, but I'm gonna stick, even though I think the three vetoes is a lot. I think Michael can do a good job of kind of dialing it down because really at the end of the day, all he had to do was compete against Nicole in the one veto. It was him and Brittany versus Nicole and Taylor, and everybody knew that Nicole was throwing it. So he can maybe brush that one under the rug. And so I think Michael probably is my front runner.
And how
that was long-winded. Man, do I ever shut up?
How long do you think Jasmine's going to milk this foot?
I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm like a heavy. So my ankles, I would always mess up my ankles. And when she went down, before they even ran it back and they showed it, I was like, oh my God, she just busted her ankle bad. Because I always look for that stuff because that was always my Achilles heel in athletics was my ankles. And so I always see whenever I see an ankle injury, I can't watch it. And when I saw it happen, I was like, oh man, she just busted up her ankle bad. And if that's a high ankle sprain, she didn't have to milk it. She's going to be in pain for like a good 8 weeks.
Oh, I know. But then how long will she sit out of these competitions and use it? And then who is going to waste a head of household to get her out if she ain't going to compete?
I know. Almost like the Christmas effect. Where like Christmas went so deep in the show because it was like, you know, what are we going to do? Get out Christmas? She can't even compete. She's just a number. She's a vote. Let's keep her. Where Jasmine might end up turning into that. I don't know. I think she could last pretty long.
Big Brother Canada season 2, John Party had a shoulder injury and it was in a sling.
He won the show.
He won.
Yeah.
And then I think Tyson on Survivor, I think he hurt his shoulder and was in a sling. But I don't know if that was the season he won, but he won.
I mean, so. Tyson's great. He's an incredible player. Who do you think is going to go next?
It's just all depends who wins that head of household. I think if one of the leftovers, I think they'll want to throw Daniel. But the guys are scared to get rid of more guys. They're paranoid about the women. You know what I'm saying? Like, why didn't they get rid of Daniel this week? If they were so pro Taylor, they would have thrown Daniel up there. But they were scared of the women having the numbers.
Exactly. And so I think, to be honest, I think who they may go after is Alyssa.
You reckon?
Yeah, because
she's so under. You know who's under the radar that me and you hadn't even mentioned her name, and the TV show don't ever show her? Poor little Indy.
So there was stuff going on the feeds that they didn't really show where like Alyssa Turner was mentioning like possibly going after her, but he didn't really know. And Alyssa like slipped up in front of Indy and said, Turner would have nominated Indy and me, but he didn't want to do it for me. And I was like, and then Indy was in the room and it was like, oh wait, I mean, it was like, it was this big slip up, but I guess it wasn't part of the storyline. But yeah, Indy hasn't been getting much because I mean, like Indy's just there. I think she's just going to float. Right.
Who's she remind you of on our season?
I don't think, I think Victoria's in a league of her own. to be honest. And we say it all the time. I love Victoria. She's a sweetheart.
But I love all of them.
She was in a league of her own because Indy has got this fire to her where she wants to compete and she's trying and she wants to win. I mean, I couldn't have seen Victoria win anything.
Yeah, but she had that fire too, because I remember like when Caleb done the whole soccer thing and she ended up with the veto. She was like, la, 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 I won the veto. It's like, no, you didn't win.
Yeah, you didn't win the veto. I was so mad. That was the week that I nominated you that I was super pissed. But what are you going to do? It is what it is. But Donnie, thanks so much for joining us.
You tell Derek I said hello. I hate I missed him. I have seen him. He came to Charlotte maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe 3 years ago. I went and seen him then. So you know who I've seen the most? Christine.
Really?
Christine. Yeah. At these charity events. I think I've seen her like 3 or 4 times. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've seen her more than anybody.
I don't really see anybody. And I don't really talk. I talk to people like here and there, you know, like I kind of talked to Zach here and there. I just went and saw Frankie's show in New York City because Frankie was in Los Angeles for the longest time. And then he finally came back. He has this show that's absolutely incredible. It's Titanic. It's like a play on Titanic. It's absolute comedy. It's incredible. So I went and saw that show and it was amazing to get to see him. And then obviously Derek, but it's like, it's tough. Everybody goes back to their lives, right? And it's like,
I'm so much older. So, you know, like, what am I going to call Nicole and say, you know, I would love to talk to everybody. Here's what they need to do. Paramount Plus, here's what you need to do. You need to do, you know how MTV is doing, or Paramount Plus is doing those reunion shows like with
no
the
way.
Real World? Yeah,
no way.
They've had the Real World, New York, the first season, California, the second season. And then recently they've had New Orleans, and it's amazing. It's a little short version, like 2 weeks. So someone should do like Big Brother and have like either a reunion where everybody talks, or have like a little quick Big Brother, you know, a 2 week thing. Grown-ups can't leave for 100 days no
it's
more.
Tough. I know, it's tough.
You know what CBS should do? Oh, I've got such good ideas. Instead of this celebrity Big Brother where they have to bend over backwards, it'll be a Big Brother game like Celebrity Big Brother, about 28 days, but get Big Brother people, Survivor people, and Amazing Race people, and Love Island people.
Donnie.
Then you ain't got to bend over backwards.
I'll tell you right now, they would probably save money with how much they pay the celebrities.
Tons.
And if they shorten it up, they're going to be saving money with returners anyways.
Say and they could get they won't for 3 weeks.
You know what they could call it? Big Brother Fast Forward. Because it's a sped up version, something along those lines, right? And they just, how about they bring back returners? Like, man, if I saw the beard on there again.
And instead of Celebrity Big Brother, it could be Reality Big Brother. And it'd be a winter edition.
Yeah,
And they could get Survivor people, because I go to these charity events and people love Survivor. They love Big Brother. And see, they would never have to have returning players on regular Survivor and Big Brother. They can get new players. And then the returning players would go back and do their little winter edition. They can make extra money.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't get
it. I don't know why they wouldn't do it.
They'll get superstars that want to quit because they don't. Hey, we've played it. We know what to expect.
Exactly. And that's the thing that drives me nuts. I'm like, they have these celebrities on that don't even care to play the game. There's only a few of them that are actually playing the game, and everybody gets bored of it. Bring back people that have played the game already. You have a big pool of people that would absolutely be chomping at the bit, and you only need to go into Big Brother, that would be chomping at the bit to play a shorter version to play the game again.
Yeah, they could do a small Survivor and get some Big Brothers on it.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's like, who's the best? I could kill Survivor, you know.
I could not do Survivor.
They're missing out.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea. That's a goldmine of an idea. They could save money and make good money because people would love. They bring back fan favorites like you. People would be all over that.
Hey, I could definitely do it now. But not for 100 days. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
My mama's 81 years old, so I can't do 100 days, but I could easily do a month.
Yeah. That is we might have to call some of those producers. Do we have any other numbers?
I doubt it. I got some handlers' numbers. That's about it.
Oh man. All right. That's a good way to close it out. Donnie, thank you so much for coming on here, man. And
you're welcome.
Last minute, I appreciate it.
Said, hey.
Yeah. I appreciate you filling in. He was traveling from Hawaii and he was like, I haven't slept at all. He's like, I can't, I'm not caught up. And I was like, then, you know, we're going to get on Donnie. That's going to be great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Buddy. I appreciate you coming on here and I appreciate all of you stopping by here. Go check out Donnie. He tweets about 3 times a year and we appreciate you stopping by. We appreciate you hanging out here on the Winner's Circle and we will see
you
next week.
I love you, Cody.
Love you too.